Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your presence. We thank you for blessing us with all that you have blessed us in this last week. All the trials, the tribulations, the good times, the answered prayers. I want to especially thank you for the answered prayer last night at about 4 a.m. when I was awakened and wasn't feeling well. And I thank you, Father, for answering that prayer so that when I woke up, I was okay. We thank you, Father, for blessing everybody that's on our prayer list that's in need, whether it's physical, spiritual, or financial blessings. We have quite a few. I don't know them all by name, of course, but we have some in Australia that are dealing with situations, and all around the world, of course. There's a friend of Stacy's out in Australia that their home is affected by the flooding and the storm damage and all that out there, and we thank you for blessing them with the strength to endure and the blessings that they need to continue on. We thank you for the fruits, the gifts, the armor, the latter rain, the faith that moves mountains, the character of your Son, and a new heart. And for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with a forgiving heart as well, for forgiving those that have gone against us. We pray for them and that you bless them too, and everybody that's on our prayer list, especially those we love. So thank you for blessing the church, the ministry, the school, the food pantry, and all the ministries that are involved and all the people that are involved in this last movement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, that page is locked in. The way I'm doing it now is just to lock it in right when I... And the song. But, yeah, we have a poem to read, but I guess we can read that after the services, if everybody would stick around. It's another one of those poems that Michelle wrote, and so it's bound to be a good one. So Sabbath blessings to everybody, and those of you on the radio, too. Thank you for being here, and for being here last night, too. I don't know if you're the same people, but, you know. There's a couple of new people in here now, Northern Post and Bert. Thank you for being here. We pray that you're blessed. So anyway, for those of you listening on the radio, we are in Ministry of Healing. Those of you that are in the room, just look to your right. But it's Ministry of Healing, chapter 39, and the bottom of page 464, I believe. Yeah. And this section is entitled Clearer Revealings of God. And we're probably going to finish this chapter off today because there's not much left of it. So let me get my glasses here. There. I have to clean my glasses off. All right. It says, it is our privilege to reach higher and still higher for clearer revealings of the character of God. When Moses prayed, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory," the Lord did not rebuke him, but he granted his prayer. God declared to, and by the way, this proves Jesus was active at this time. A lot of people have a hard time understanding that, that aren't of our number, especially in regards to Michael the archangel. They have a little difficulty there as well. But when you do an intense study on it, you find the truth. I don't know where I put my water. I thought it was in here. Oh, well, I am without. So, anyway, the fact of the matter is we understand what the scriptures say is about no man has looked upon God and lived, you know, the Father. And so here we see Moses being blessed with seeing the back parts of Jesus Christ. So going on, it says, God declared to his servant, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. It is sin that darkens our minds and dims our perceptions. as sin is purged from our hearts, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, illuminating his word and reflected from the face of nature, more and more fully will declare him merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Exodus 34:6. And this is one of the blessings that we as Christians understand quite clearly that most churches don't. When you get as close to Jesus Christ as you possibly can, everything is amazing how, you know, your discernment kicks up, your understanding of the scriptures, and especially prophecy, is enlightened in a major way. And you can discern that what's going on in the current events and match them up with scripture rather easily. Whereas most of the world, well, like Amos predicted in Amos chapter 8, that prophet predicted that most of the people today won't be reading Bibles. And those that do read Bibles are reading it just for the sake of a chore, if you will. They're not looking through the scriptures or in them to look for the character of their Heavenly Father. They're doing it as a way, okay, well, I got to get it done. I'm a Christian. I got to do this kind of a thing. And plus, they're reading bogus Bibles. For those of you who don't understand what I mean by that, there's a page on the website called Bogus Bibles in the warnings section. These are the Bibles that the Roman Catholic Church has altered, whereas upwards of 2,000 verses are missing in most, and an additional 2,000 have been rewritten. And there's a reason for their methods of madness. It's so that people will believe in life after death immediate, or eternal life in hell, or a seven-year trib, or a secret rapture, whatever. There's all sorts of, or even a Sunday Sabbath, but even there they can't. Even in those bogus Bibles, I still offer people $10,000 if they can show me one verse that says the Lord changed the Sabbath. But anyway, continuing, she says, in his light shall we see light, until mind and heart and soul are transformed into the image of his holiness. For those who thus lay hold of the divine assurances of God's word, there are wonderful possibilities. Obviously because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But going on, it says, before them lie vast fields of truth, vast resources of power. Glorious things are to be revealed. Privileges and duties which they do not even suspect to be in the Bible will be made manifest. All who walk in the path of humble obedience, fulfilling his purpose, will know more and more of the oracles of God. And I can remember as a young guy trying to figure out, what would you have me do, Lord? You know, I'm constantly looking around, trying to figure out what I should do in life. But keeping my face in the scriptures, he eventually revealed it to me. But it wasn't until, I think, 2 or 3 years after I had already started doing it that I realized, oh, so that's what you wanted me to do. You know, sometimes you don't catch it right off. You just start going forward and doing what you can as a Christian to share what he's giving you to share. And he tests you, as we all know, on a regular basis to see if you'll go further with it. Will you go and talk to that person that you're afraid to talk to, that might be offended by the truth you're about to share? Will you turn around and walk away, or will you do your best to share, even if it's only a smile? To some people, you know, that alone will get them upset. But he tests us on a daily basis to see how far we'll go with what he has given us. And as we continue on and do that which he is calling us to do, he gives us more and more responsibilities. And we understand more and more of the oracles of God, the scriptures, as we stay in it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, as I said earlier. So going on, it says, let the student take the Bible as his guide and stand firm for principle, and he may aspire to any height of attainment. All the philosophies of human nature have led to confusion and shame when God has not been recognized as all in all. I mean, just look at today, for example. One of the last prophecies is children will be disobedient to parents. And what happens there is they lose absolute authority in their lives. And when the parents don't discipline them the way they should, they're also not going to reveal God to them as they should. And so now, since they grew up in a household where there was no absolute authority, their life, in their adult life, there was no absolute authority. So they don't recognize God as being an all in all. I mean, they don't see consequences for their sin. They don't see, well, the main reason being, of course, is because a lot of them think, well, there must not be a God because I just committed a major sin and there was no lightning bolt that came flying out of the sky to blast me into oblivion. Like murderers, for example. A lot of them can, you know, and the mass murderers, they're just continuing on figuring, oh, you know, nothing seems to be happening to me. Some of these guys have killed 30, 40, 50 people. And then, of course, you get the guys that are, you know, the leaders, if you will, who actually kill millions more and get away with it. So they think that eastern sky is going to split and they're going to have to deal with what they've done. So keep them in your prayers. Hopefully they will embrace the truth just like the thief in the cross did before he breathed his last. A couple of hours is all he had to walk as a Christian, well, hang, if you will, as a Christian. And Jesus did tell him he was going to gain heaven when heaven is there for him to gain. So continuing, it says, but the precious faith inspired of God imparts strength and nobility of character. As his goodness, his mercy, and his love are dwelt upon, clearer and still clearer will be the perception of truth, higher, holier, the desire for purity of heart and clearness of thought. And I got to attest to that too, because the more you read the scriptures, the more your mind is exercised, if you will, if you want to just call it that, but there is also a blessing that comes from reading his word, because the Bible's pretty plain about it, especially in the book of Revelation, says those who read it will be blessed. And either you think your God is lying, or you accept him for what he said. That's one of the neat things. When he says it and he promises it, that's one of the, that's kind of like what happened last night. And when I woke up, I was very ill, and I had a real bad sore throat the whole 9 yards. I thought, okay, I guess there was a bug going on, and I just caught it. And I'm laying there, and I says, Father, you know, it is Sabbath. Sun has gone down, and you have promised that any prayer that's mentioned on Sabbath, it will be answered before the sun goes down again. So I need to preach tomorrow. And I want to remind you of the promise. And then, you know, an hour later, I drifted off to sleep, and I was fine when I woke up, perfectly fine. So I praise his name for that, and I like to glorify him and testify of him, you know. That's one of the neat things. Just seeing his hand move on such a frequent basis, it just edifies the soul. It blesses the child of God, as you all know, because a lot of you have a lot on the praise list. So continuing, the soul dwelling in the pure atmosphere of holy thought is transformed by intercourse with God through the study of his word. Truth is so large, so far-reaching, so deep, so broad, that self is lost sight of. Just give you an idea of how broad it can be. You go to sleep. You wake up. Right? We all do it every morning. Winter comes. Everything dies. Spring comes. Everything's back to life. When you die to self and are born again, you resurrect and become a new creature. When you die, literally, if in fact you die before he splits that eastern sky, you will get up again, whether you deserve it or not. Because some people will get up for a pretty lousy resurrection. They'll, you know, have to die again. But the fact of the matter is, look at how broad the truth is. You can find it everywhere. There's so many reminders of what he said that you will get up again. You get everything from going to sleep to looking at how the flowers die and get back to, you know, and come back. It's everywhere. There's truth. You can find it intertwined in everything. Just like for, like what we discovered a couple, 3 weeks ago. We did that. We found this out a few years ago where, when the Lord said, let there be light, they just found out in a scientific experiment what they did is they did exactly what was happening on Creation Week, only a lot smaller, of course, and they just put a lot of water in a beaker and they, in a dark room where there's absolutely no light with a special camera, and they just blasted sonar or sound waves at that water. And I saw the video. I actually still have the video, and you could see the little bubble of air forming in the middle of the water, and it started glowing white hot. And that's what happened in Genesis. There was a big, you know, the earth was without form and void, and he said, let there be light, and then that ball of water just turned into a ball of fire. And then, of course, the other part splits off and comes planet Earth or whatever. But what we just found out a couple, 3 weeks ago was even more so amazing. Because, you know, with the electron microscopes and whatnot, we have the ability with our technology to look at a DNA strand. Well, just recently they went past looking, you know, past the DNA strand, and they found what they call strings. They can't really describe them other than that, just to say they're just a bunch of strings. It's all over the place. They went past the DNA and they saw these, it looks like millions of miles of strings all over the place. And they just finally went to the base. They finally found the end of it. They went past the strings. And do y'all remember what they found? Sound waves. That's it. In absolutely every single thing that's on planet Earth, including your flesh, the tree in your backyard, the skunk crawling underneath your porch, the kitty cat running around in your living room, whatever. Whatever's alive, every little bit of it, when you go past down its DNA or whatever and you get down to the base element, it all has sound waves as the base. Why? Because he spoke it into existence. He's an amazing God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But continuing, the heart is softened and subdued into humility, kindness, and love, and the natural powers are enlarged because of holy obedience. That's an amazing statement. The natural powers are enlarged because of holy obedience. That's a sad thing when you think about how some churches out there teach you do not heap the key, you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. In regards to the fact that the Revelation 14:12 speaks of two major fruits as the two fruits that prevent the people from getting the mark of the beast. Number one, keeping the commandments. Number two, having the faith in Jesus. You know, they don't get that. They don't even realize that in Revelation 22, it talks about the only people that are actually stepping into the kingdom of heaven are those that keep the Ten Commandments. And they go, oh, well, that's just the Jews. Really? So I guess you're not going. See, they don't seem to understand. The devil attacks in whatever way he can attack, and he doesn't care if you believe in Jesus, and he doesn't care if you keep the law. He does care if you keep that together. That's why he's got all the Jews believing that they have to keep the Ten Commandments and they don't want anything to do with Jesus. And they got all the Christians out there believing that they got to believe in Jesus, but they don't have to keep the law. They continually forget about what happened in the Garden of Eden in regards to obedience. It wasn't a lack of faith in Jesus that got them kicked out of the garden, because he walked with them in the cool of the day, it says in Genesis. What got them kicked out was disobedience. I mean, even the devils believe and tremble, it says in James 2:19. So if you think that all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you got heaven tapped, well, I guess Satan's going to be going there too, because the devils believe and tremble. So going on, it says, from the study of the Word of Life, students may come forth with minds expanded, elevated, and ennobled if they are, like Daniel, hearers and doers of the Word of God. They may advance as he did in all branches of learning. Being pure-minded, they will become strong-minded. And one of the key features, by the way, of course, is the right arm of the gospel, the health message. If you eat things that Deuteronomy or Leviticus say are poisonous to the human body, then organs in your body, including the organ that's behind your forehead, are going to get affected. Now, when you affect a kidney, you might get a little bit of a gut pain. You affect your gut, you're going to get a gut pain. You affect your lungs, okay, you might have a little bit of trouble breathing. But what happens when you affect the brain? You're weak-minded. And you're not going to be able to understand like you should. People say, oh, well, it's okay to eat pork and all this other stuff because Peter had that vision and the sheep came down and God said, kill and eat. But 2 Peter 1:20 says not to take any prophetic information or even visions with your own opinion. No prophecy of the scriptures of any private opinion. Peter actually, later on in that chapter, explains what the vision meant, and it had nothing to do with unclean foods. Because even Peter said, years after the cross when he started having the vision, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. Had it been changed, it would have been changed before the cross, because once the cross was there, the testament of Christ can't be changed. So you can't change anything after the cross. And so Peter explains later on the reason the sheep came down three times and there was unclean animals in it, because we all know, if you just look in the scriptures, how the Jews used to call anybody that wasn't a Jew a dog. You know, they were unclean. They couldn't even touch some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the higher ups. They're kind of like the high priest. Oh, can't even touch those people. You get unclean. You know, it's like touching a dead pig or something. But the sheep came down three times because there were unclean men knocking on Peter's door, and there were three of them. That's why that sheep came down three times. And that's what he told them later. But all the pastors and the preachers out there stop short. They don't tell them that part. They only say, oh, yeah, look at all the animals in there. Go ahead and kill and eat. Go ahead and give thanks to God for the pork on your plate. Okay, then I can walk up and say, Pastor, could you mind telling everybody that you would like to thank me for the million I gave you? He goes, well, you never gave me a million. Well, then why would you thank me? Well, yeah, of course. I'm not going to thank you for something you've never done. I says, thank you. He goes, what's your point? How can you give thanks to God for eating something he never said you had permission to eat? You can't say thank you when he said don't eat it. God is not going to give you pork. And then you could get a little blunt and tell them, hey, would you eat a fly? Well, of course not. Well, then why are you eating a pig? Pigs are designed to be giant flies. They're planet cleaners, just like clams and oysters and all this other stuff. And mankind hasn't changed much over years other than their height and their stature. And the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. It says in Malachi, in the book of Malachi, that he's, you know, the Lord God, thy God, he doesn't change. I change not. And if that's the case, did humans change all of a sudden, suddenly? I mean, now, in the Old Testament, we weren't allowed to eat unclean foods, but in the New Testament, we are allowed to eat unclean? I don't get that. It's just like with the Sabbath. The Old Testament, you kept the seventh day. The New Testament, you kept the seventh day. And then after the cross, they assume you're supposed to keep the first day. But then when they go back to heaven, Isaiah even says you're going to have to keep the seventh day again. So we're supposed to go keep the seventh day and then keep the first day for a while and then go back to heaven and go back to keeping the seventh day. But didn't my God say already that he doesn't change? Anyway, going on. Every intellectual faculty will be quickened. They may so educate and discipline themselves that all within the sphere of their influence shall see what man can be and what he can do when connected with the God of wisdom and power. You know, there might be a few Elijahs in here, or Enochs, or even Peter, where you don't look at the waves and let them get to you. You know, because that's the problem that Peter was having. He didn't keep his eyes on Christ. And that's some of the, see, this is the reason you got guys like Alex Jones and you got all these Jesuits out there, because he is a Jesuit coadjutor, and they're doing all these things and they're generating all this terror in the world and fear. Why? Because the Christians need to get fearful. Because if they get fearful, Satan remembers what happened with Peter. Peter started looking around at all the scary stuff of the wind and the blowing, the lightning and the waves, and he didn't concentrate on who he was walking towards. And he started to sink. Don't let what all the, no matter how scary it gets, it doesn't even matter if they stick a gun in your face. All you can think in the back of your mind is, how dare you threaten me with heaven? Of course, you don't want to say that to them. But the thing is, you don't look at what the devil has to offer. We have a God that has promised us we will gain heaven. There is no need, or there is no reason to be fearful. Because if you're fearful, you're not going to walk on water when you need to glorify him. You're not going to be able to raise the dead when you need to glorify him, and you're not going to be able to heal the sick or preach to a million. It goes on by saying every intellectual... Wait, I already read that. Okay, then let's finish this one up. This last section is called, for those of you on the radio, it's called Education in the Life Eternal. And it says, our life work here is a preparation for the life eternal. The education begun here will not be completed in this life. Okay. Now, let me stop there for a second before I'll reread it, of course, in a minute here. But I would like to, like if there happens to be any doctors of divinity out there reading or listening in, you know, with the alphabet soup after their name, I would like to ask them, why is it when someone comes up to them with a truth that is proven by Scripture that their doctrine has now been exposed as heresy, where they won't accept it because they are a doctor of divinity. They think they have gotten to a point where, yeah, I know it all. You know, you can't teach me nothing. But the Bible's pretty plain that we're going to be reading Scripture in heaven. We're going to be studying in heaven, and even Sister White here is saying that the education begun here will not be completed in this life. I mean, even Jesus said certain situations and certain truths were not going to be able to be understood by the apostles until the day of Pentecost. They didn't realize that, he just told them he was going to send a comforter. And even then, we're still looking through a glass darkly, it says in Scripture. But that's not going to be forever. And then we're going to really see how broad and amazing this truth of his is. Think about that. Trillions and trillions of years from now, you're still going to be studying the Scriptures and finding new things. That's how amazing this God is that we worship. It's easier to understand now that the Word can become flesh. Jesus Christ was the Word incarnate. He was able to walk with absolute perfection. The spotless Lamb who taketh away the sins of the world. So going on, the education begun here will not be completed in this life. It will be going forward through all eternity, ever progressing, never completed. That right there is a blessing to behold, because I love to learn. And I would imagine a few of you do too, or quite a few of you. It's exciting to learn new things. And by the way, science has just proven. And I put this in the, which video was it in? I think it's in the Antichrist video, where I think Moody Bible Institute figured this out, where science has found, because of the way the human brain is, because now they can actually, I don't know if you realize it, but they actually have memory chips now that you can put in your computer. Well, they're not on the market, but they have already invented them. They're not selling them yet, but they're made out of flesh. And the flesh has a way to, you know, hold memory. They're doing like a bio memory kind of a setup. And I don't know how far that technology is ever going to get. It can only hold a couple of K. It's nothing like the hardware that we have today that can hold a few gig on a small chip. But they found that if you learn, I don't even remember what it said on the website, but I think it was like if you learn something new every split second, you could not exhaust the capacity of the human brain for 6 million years, I think it was. Was that what it was? But who among us learns something new every split second? I mean, you can go to school for years and only learn something new every day, once a day. So you do the math and see how far out into the future that goes. Plus, they did this, whatever they did with science, you know, to try to figure this out, with the post-flood brains. Okay, we've already got evidence that's documented, as a matter of fact, but the government doesn't want people to know about this. This is why they got barbed wire around Mount Sinai, and you can't go up and see Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, even though we've got photos of it. But they found that before the flood of Noah, when the atmosphere was double, and that's why people lived for 900 and some odd years, because the atmosphere being double like that allowed for the oxygen molecules to be squished to where they can actually get into the smallest capillaries of your body to prevent even wrinkles, let alone aging. And so this is one of the reasons they lived to be such a ripe old age. But when the great deep burst forth and broke that hyperbolic atmosphere chamber that we were in here on planet Earth, which they've also proven was there before the flood, then mankind slowly, and because of the lousy diet after that, starting to eat flesh, our lifespan went down drastically. But before the flood, men were 16 feet tall, women were about 14 feet tall. And even that's a corrupted body, because Adam and Eve are going to be even taller. So now figure out how big that brain is going to be when you're in heaven. If they're saying millions and millions of years it would take to exhaust a human brain now, if you learn something new every split second, imagine the brain three times that size. And this also proves the evolutionists wrong. They always say when you evolve to a certain, your whole body will evolve to that particular purpose. There's two reasons they can't handle this. Darwin used to have nightmares about the human eyeball, he couldn't figure out what's the reason for the eyeball when worms don't have them. Why does the eyeball even in the, area of evolution? And then the other aspect was, of course, the brain. Or what was it, I went off track there. Yeah. I think it was the brain. Oh, yeah, the brain. Because they say, why is it that a human body in today's world, or even in Noah's day, okay, in Noah's day, the human body could last 900 and, what was the oldest man, 969 years old. And in today's world, maybe 120. But yet the brain is designed to live for eternity. That right there makes the evolutionists roll in their graves. They can't figure it out. So let's finish this up. It says, more and more fully will be revealed the wisdom of, and love of God in the plan of redemption. The Savior, as he leads his children to the fountains of living waters, will impart rich stores of knowledge. And day by day, and one of the things I like too, will know how to play harps perfectly. It just always reminds me of when they were building the sanctuary and certain men were endowed with artistic abilities. Like all of a sudden they just had this ability to make this beautiful artwork, in this carvings for the Father. And then I look at my daughter, a couple of my daughters, as a matter of fact, have this ability to draw these caricatures from birth. They just had this artistic ability where I had to teach myself to draw. I know how difficult it was for me to learn how to draw. But they just one day pick up a pencil and start drawing things and says, wow, you know, it took me years to try to draw like that. Some people are just blessed with certain abilities. So, but everybody will have this rich stores of knowledge granted to them when they gain heaven. So, going on, it says, and day by day, the wonderful works of God, the evidences of his power in creating and sustaining the universe, will open before the mind in new beauty. In the light that shines from the throne, mysteries will disappear, and the soul will be filled with astonishment at the simplicity of the things that were never before comprehended. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know even also as we are known. So I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.